A reading from the Gospel of Mark. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is the gospel of grace. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray together. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It's so good to see you in the sanctuary this morning. It's good to see anybody in the sanctuary this morning. It is Easter Sunday morning, and I know what the psalmist meant when he said, "Let us go unto the house of the Lord and be glad." Last Easter, this sanctuary was completely quiet and still, and its stones must have wondered what had happened. So this year is a great gift, and one not taken lightly. Here is the church, and here is the steeple. Open the doors, and we've got some people. And I think no one could be more glad that there are other people here than our music and worship coordinator, Tiffany McLean. For over a year, she's been basically the only one I've been preaching to out here in these pews. She's been all by herself out there, and I just kept preaching right at her. And if she ain't saved yet, there just ain't any hope. Although, as the sermon title this morning suggests, hope can have a surprising way of sneaking up on us. When the women came to the tomb that first Easter morning, they were anything but hopeful. They had followed Jesus from Galilee to Jerusalem so full of hope, only to have that hope dashed on Good Friday. They wept and they wailed as Jesus was taken away to be crucified. And as he hung there on the cross, it seemed as though the whole world wept and wailed with them. Darkness descended over the whole land at noon, and at 3 o'clock, Jesus hung his head and died. The women watched and wept as his body was placed into a tomb for the Sabbath. And now, 2 days later, they arrived with spices and ointments to anoint the body for a more proper burial. And that is when, in the words of the theologian N.T. Wright, the women were surprised by hope. They were surprised to see that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. And inside the tomb, there was a young man, an angel, sitting there where they were expecting to find the body. "You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth," he said. "He is not here. He is risen. So go back and tell Peter and all of the disciples, Jesus is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he said." And then the most, I think, interesting thing in the text, and where many of the most ancient manuscripts of the book of Mark actually end, "So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid." A pretty peculiar and less than gratifying ending to the greatest story ever told. So much so that several other endings were actually later added, which means we have now not only one peculiar ending, but several perplexing ones, including one which says we are supposed to handle serpents here on Sunday mornings. Is it any wonder then why so many so-called Bible-believing people prefer the other endings? The ones where, you know, you don't have to handle snakes or drink poison in order to be a bona fide Christian. Just tithe. The shorter ending is definitely less sensational and somewhat less satisfying, but it's also, in my book, a lot more real. It's where we are at. It's where we have to live after this stunning claim of resurrection. The other endings have Jesus appearing in flesh and in blood to the disciples. There is proof in the accounts, but not this one. In this one, the ending is left open, and the women are given a choice. The words of the angel in the tomb can either be believed or they can be disbelieved. But if they are to be believed, then they have to be believed by faith and not perceived by sight. The women were afraid and terror-bound. And at first, they were silent. But then later, what they decided is self-evident. They chose to believe and to go and to tell, which means that they, the women, really were the first to believe and the first to preach the gospel. They told the men, "He's not there. He is risen. And he has gone ahead of us to Galilee, and he will meet us there. That choice, whether to believe or not, could not have been an easy one. For they were still stunned and still terrified and still terrorized and traumatized by all that they had watched and witnessed in Jerusalem. They were still in grief and they were still afraid. Yet somehow they did not allow their fears to bind them. They did not allow their fears to silence them. They had been surprised by hope, and they allowed themselves to be surprised by hope also. They had believed so much in Jesus. What he said and what he did, who he was and how he lived, how he made them feel dignified and valued, how he affirmed the dignity and worth of all people. And all of this seemed so shattered on Friday. But on Sunday, a glimmer of hope got up and surprised them. They did not see the body, and they still had many questions and many fears, yet hope had found a place in their hearts, and they decided to let it live. They had believed so much in Jesus and all that he stood for. And they decided that they still believed. So back to Galilee they went, and the world was changed by their witness. Today is not only Easter Sunday, it's also April 4th, the anniversary date of the assassination death of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Dr. King was killed while leading a campaign for sanitation workers in Memphis, Tennessee in 1968. And after he was assassinated, even before the funeral could take place and the body could be buried, Dr. King's wife, Coretta Scott King, made a faithful and very courageous decision to go to Memphis herself and to continue the campaign. When she told her friends what she was thinking about and that she felt like she needed to go, some said yes and some said no. Some said she was not grieving properly. All of this left her very confused, perplexed, as some of the translations of today's text say. But in the end, she did decide to go. She decided to go as a witness. And she brought her young children along with her, and together, they finished the march. While at the march, she gave a stirring speech in which she said, "I was compelled to come. Then she asked this poignant question, which could have been asked after the execution of Jesus. How many more men must die before we can really have a free and true and peaceful society? And then, in spite of her husband's death, she reaffirmed her profound hope in his message. I believe this nation can be transformed into a society of love, justice, peace, and brotherhood, she said, where all men really can be brothers. The nation sat on a powder keg as it watched and listened to Mrs. King. And she surprised it with her hope. God surprised it through her hope. This year has been a year of loss for so many of us. And we have sat upon a powder keg again. And though some of us have not even yet had the chance to have the funeral, here we are on Easter Sunday morning being told that hope is still alive and that the dream for this nation and this world still stands. And the decision is ours then to make, because hope is in our hands now. What Jesus said, what he did, and how he lived, and how he affirmed, these things can't be killed. They tried to kill them on Friday, but God raised them up on Sunday. God raised Jesus up. So go tell, preach, the angel told the women. And the women told us, and we are to tell the world. There is more life in Jesus than there is death in all of the universe. So we must not be afraid, for the hope of Jesus is not in a tomb. It's in the world. And we are called, you and me, to be its witnesses. I alluded a moment ago to some of the funerals we have not yet had the opportunity to have here of several beloved Broadway members due to COVID-19. One of those is for Nancy Thurman, who died of COVID just after Christmas. She was 94 years old. A matriarch in this church, and a mighty, mighty strong pillar in our congregation. She was also strongly opinionated. I once joked that if I ever wanted the Lord to know something, I would tell Nancy so that she could let him know. She wasn't a wallflower, not bashful by any means, but I can tell you that I trusted her wisdom and her grit. Nancy loved God, and she loved Jesus, and she loved this church. Not long before she died, Nancy wrote a book about her 70-plus year experience here at Broadway. It's titled, This Is My Story. My favorite chapter in the book is the one about when we, no, y'all, because I wasn't here yet, stood and affirmed the dignity and belonging of all members in this congregation. She titled the chapter, The Right Choice. And as the epistle says, God is no respecter of any persons. God welcomes and accepts all people who love God and love their neighbors. We make the right choice when we choose to follow Jesus and his way of life. We make the right choice when we believe in him and his ways of love and justice. Some thought we would die making that choice, and maybe something did, but something has been raised also. There is life and there is resurrection at Broadway Baptist Church. There is hope in Nancy's church. Nancy's gone on now. There's a lily in her memory here this morning. There are many lilies in memory of many faithful departed Broadwayers this morning. They've all gone on, but their spirit remains, and Christ's spirit remains also. They made the right choice to follow him, to believe in him, and to keep on believing in him, even when resurrection was just a rumor. The angel spoke the good word to them, and they believed. They believed, and they were surprised by hope. May we be surprised by hope also this Easter. And may we go out from here and tell the world that he is risen. He is risen. He is risen. Indeed. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, and Mother of us all, and all of God's people then said, Amen.